You open your Bibles with me now to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8. Continue our series this morning through the Gospel of Luke. Last week, we looked at particularly Luke chapter 8, verses 9 and 10, in which Jesus gives the reason for parables. The reason that He spoke in parables was to both conceal from those who are perishing the kingdom, but also to reveal to those who are being saved the kingdom. As we come again to Luke 8 this morning, we're going to look at Jesus' explanation of this parable of the soils or of the sower that He gives in Luke 8 verses 5 through 8. We'll begin reading then in verse 4 of Luke chapter 8, and we'll end in verse 15. So let us now give our attention to the reading of God's Word, beginning in Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. "And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to Him from every city, He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When He had said these things, He cried, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' Then His disciples asked Him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' And He said, 'To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, we have heard Your word, and in it we recognize that You are instructing us that there are those who hear who do not truly hear. Help us to be those who hear, those who are prepared to hear, those whose hearts are like that good ground, that receive Your word, not for a little while, but with patience, that it may bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know what your preparation for worship looks like. I hope you do some preparation. Well, we'll get to a little bit of that later on in the sermon, maybe some things that you can do if you do not. But being the one who's preaching the message, I'm preparing for it all week, so I have a bit of an advantage. With my children, though, I try to do something on Saturday evenings at dinner. I try to talk about the sermon, maybe throw out things that will bring about their interest, make them desirous to listen and help them to pay attention. And last night at dinner, I told them that tomorrow at church they were going to get a hearing test. Now, this raised some eyebrows. What do you mean we're going to get a hearing test? Now, they've all been to the doctor. They've had the headphones put on. They've raised their hand. That's probably what they were thinking. But when I explained that it was going to be a spiritual hearing test, then they somewhat understood. But my oldest son, he immediately says this. He hates shots. He says, "Can I get a spiritual flu shot?" I said, "No, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry." But then I found out later that my youngest son actually was concerned as he was going to bed. He was telling my wife, "I don't know about church tomorrow. I don't want to take a test." Even this morning he was saying that. "I don't want to take a test. Well, I'm not going to hand out a paper." But we are going to look at our hearts. We're going to have a spiritual checkup, a spiritual hearing test this morning, because how you hear the Word matters. How you hear the Word matters. Going to church is not enough. There are many people who go to church all their lives who don't really hear the Word of God. Now, I can't see your heart. I don't know how God is working in you. Perhaps you are one who hears me preach the Word of God, but do absolutely nothing with it. You don't do anything with it. It makes no difference in your life. You're going to leave here today and forget what you have heard. You're like that wayside hearer from whom the devil snatches the Word away. Or perhaps right now, you're one who loves the Word. You're excited about it. But that won't stay. You'll lose steam. You'll be like that rocky soil that has no root. Or perhaps you're one who now is hearing the Word, and because of the desires of the world, because of the cares of the world, the riches of the world, the pleasures of the world, you're going to have it choked and be left unfruitful, like that thorny ground. You see, these grounds represent hearts, and these three grounds represent hearts that hear the Word but never really hear the Word. They hear it, but they don't hear it. And notice the order here goes from those who never respond to those who respond quickly and drop out just as quickly. And then to those who respond, they stay a little longer, but eventually the world chokes the Word. And this parable is not given to tell us, well, you might be this heart one Sunday and this heart another, depending upon how you woke up this morning. No, it's saying that this is the condition of the heart of men who hear the Word of God. And there's only one of these conditions, that good ground, that actually bears fruit, that actually receives the Word by faith, that is actually saved. All of these other grounds ultimately perish. But there's a great encouragement here. For me as a pastor, as a preacher, there's a great encouragement for those of you who hear. Guess what? Some of the Word that is preached is going to find good ground. It's going to find good ground. I preach the Word because I have hope that there's good ground out there where this Word will take root. Some of the Word preached is going to find well-prepared hearts, that good ground. Some of you are going to be saved. But I want all of you to be saved. I want all of you to hear the Word with prophets. That's the question, therefore, I want you to consider today as we think about this. What kind of hearer are you? What kind of hearer are you? Now, Jesus, as we come to Luke chapter 8, He's been preaching the Word. And we've already seen it take root in the hearts of the disciples who are following Him, the women who are following Him. We've seen it take root in the woman at the house of Simon the Pharisee. Remember, she came and she was so thankful. She had been forgiven of so much that she broke open the alabaster jar and anointed His feet. She anointed His feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. But not everyone who heard Jesus preach believed. Not everyone who heard Him preach believed. In fact, in John chapter 6, we're told this, that at one point in His earthly ministry, many of His disciples went back and followed Him no more. They followed Him no more. This even prompted Jesus to ask His own disciples, the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Now Peter, whose heart had been truly affected by the Word of God, said, "Where do we have to go? You are the one who has the Word of eternal life. I have nowhere else to go." But many walked with Him no more. I don't want you to be someone who later on, I find out, walks with Him no more. It's important how we hear. And so as we come to verses, particularly verses 11 through 15, Jesus has been asked this question by His disciples in verse 9. What does this parable mean? And Jesus is going to give us His interpretation, the answer. And the answer is simply this in a nutshell, that many hear the preached Word of God, but not all receive the planted Word of God. Many hear the preached Word of God, but not all receive the planted Word of God. We're going to see that the Word is heard by all. The Word is rejected by many, but the Word is received by some. Now the word is heard by all. Look with me at verse 11. Jesus begins to answer their question. He says, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Right there we understand. The seed is the Word of God. The seed is being thrown out. Notice the seed is going to all types of ground. It is being heard by all. Jesus was beginning this work. In fact, in this parable in Matthew 13, verse 37, we read specifically that He is the sower. The Son of Man is the sower. He's the one who's preaching the Word. He is the Word. And yet He's also training His disciples. He's teaching His disciples here who are going to go on after Him and continue this work in that work of the Great Commission, Matthew 28. He says, I'll be with you to the end of the age. Go now, baptize and teach. Make disciples. Make disciples. So the disciples would continue this work, and the church is continuing that work today. I am preaching the Word. I am sowing the seed. I am throwing it out there. I want all who will hear to hear. Hear the Word of God preached. The seed is the Word of God. And everyone in the church hears the preached Word. The seed is sown here. Everyone has physical ears. Everyone hears. Jesus is speaking of the kingdom here. He's saying, in the church, this is going to be preached. And the seed lands, doesn't it? At least initially. It's not as if the birds of the air come and pluck it out of the air while it's falling. It lands. But is it received? Is it received? You see, the Word is preached to many. And we are told here that they all hear, at least physically. But the stress that Jesus places here is not on who hears the Word, but the quality of that hearing. Not that you're hearing, but how you are hearing. And some people we are going to see here fail this spiritual hearing test. He lists three of them here that fail. We'll see that the Word is heard by all, but that the Word is rejected by many. He begins speaking of this in verse 12 and does so through verse 13. In verse 12, we read of the first person or the first heart that rejects the Word of God. It is rejected by the unresponsive heart. In the parable, this is represented by the wayside. Verse 5, some fell by the wayside, by the path, on the path. Now, you've got to understand in this agricultural culture that the farmer would go and he would sow the seed, but there would be paths that the farmer would walk on as he was sowing the seed. He couldn't help but some of it fall on the path. Now, at first, this path would not be as hard, but over time, as the farmer walked on it, it would harden, it would pack down. It would become unable to receive the seed. It would be too hard for the seed to go deep into the dirt. So these individuals who are like wayside hearers are those who have unresponsive hearts. They hear the Word physically, but they never even consider it. They don't even let it sink into their conscience whatsoever. They might be able to tell you what they heard, but it really doesn't matter to them. In fact, they do not want the Word. We're told here that it fell by the wayside and it was trampled down even before the devil comes, who's represented by the birds, to pluck it out. It was trampled down. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10. Good description in Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 28 and 29. They hear the Word, but they trample it down. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. And anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. They trample Christ underfoot. Trample His Word down. And it's interesting to note that this path would not have initially been hardened, but over time it is trampled down. It becomes harder. How does this happen? How does the heart become hard? Over time. You resist the Word. You hear it. You do not pay attention to it. You stop paying attention, even as you go to church. Over time, your heart hardens. Pretty soon, you're coming to church, but you never receive anything. And pretty soon, you wonder, why am I even going to church at all? And then you're gone. That's the hardened heart. And because these individuals don't value the Word at all, we're told that the birds of the air devoured it, which Jesus tells us is the devil himself. Verse 12, and the devil comes and takes away the Word out of their hearts. Why? So they will not believe and be saved. So they will not believe and be saved. The devil is active, and he's nowhere more active than on Sundays. The devil is busy on the Lord's Day. Active. We might say that Sunday is his busiest day. He seeks to rob people of the Word of God, to take it from them. How does he do this? Maybe causes us to forget it completely, gives us dull memories, sleepy eyes. Maybe creates in us a prejudice against the Word. Maybe finding fault with the pastor, finding fault with the congregation. Maybe he diverts our attention away from it. Wandering thoughts, roving imaginations. A.T. Robertson says this, many reasons are offered today for the failure of preachers to win souls. But here is the main one. The activity of the devil during and after the preaching of the sermon. During and after the preaching of the sermon. So the Word is rejected by the unresponsive heart. But we see also in verse 13 that the Word is rejected by the impulsive heart. Look at me at verse 13. These are the ones who fall on rock, that rocky soil. Now, in Palestine, there's a thin layer of limestone, of rock, under the soil in certain places. So the soil's not very deep. You throw seed on that ground, and it may spring up, but it has nowhere for the roots to go because they're going to hit the rock. That's the picture here. Everything looks good at first, but because there is no place for the root to take hold, they don't last long at all. Now these individuals, they really, really love the Word. Look at this. When they hear, they receive the Word with joy. Pastor, I love the Word. I love to hear the preaching of the Word. I've met people like this. I've had people like this come to this very church. And I've learned not to get too excited. I've had people come and say, wow, boy, I love the Word of God. I love to study theology. I love the Reformed faith. Pastor, can I meet with you and ask you questions? Can I have a copy of the Three Forms of Unity? And I've been excited in the past. But I've learned to temper that excitement. Because I've seen those same people, after a few months, maybe in under a year, they're nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. Who knows where they're at? I pray for them. You see, these individuals will not stand when trial and temptation comes. That's what our Lord says here. They believe for a while. They seem to have true faith, but they don't. But in the time of temptation, they fall away. They fall away. The word translated fall away here is the Greek word from which we get our English word apostasy or apostatize. They fall away. These individuals are defectors from the faith. There are many people, sadly, as we look at the world, that have been faithful in churches and have walked away. Even pastors. And you wonder, how does this happen? How does this happen? Well, here it is, right here. Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. I think we're going to see more of this as it becomes harder and harder in this country to live as a Christian. It's going to be hard. Trial and temptation will come. It will matter. It will cost you something. Even as we go through this time where we're restricted in certain ways due to COVID, I wonder if there are people who have been in church who are going to say, well, I haven't been in church for a while, and it really doesn't matter to me, so I'm not going to go back. They had joy for a while, but they didn't last. Now here's the question. Were these people really saved in the first place? It says here, they receive the Word with joy. They believe for a while, but in the time of temptation, they fall away. Well, the answer is clearly no. No. Look with me at 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Those who God has regenerated, those who God has worked in the heart, will never fall away. God will finish the work that He completes. They will persevere to the end. So why is it that these individuals fall away? We see that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. John speaking of those who were part of the church, who were with them, maybe even in ministry with them. And he says this of them. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. In other words, what John the Apostle is saying there is that those who go out, those who apostatize, they show their hearts were never regenerated in the first place. They walk away. So the Word is rejected by the unresponsive heart, the wayside hearer, trample down the Word, and the devil comes and takes it. Rejected by the impulsive heart, those who receive it with joy, and yet don't stay around. But then it's also, thirdly, rejected by the preoccupied heart. We see that in verse 14. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out, that is, go out into the world, and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. In verse 6 of chapter 8, Jesus says that it's those, I'm sorry, verse 7, those that fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. I read that weeds and thorns in Palestine could grow up to maybe 6 feet tall, often bud with various colors, red, blue, and yellow, but they steal all the nourishment from the ground. Nothing else can grow there. That's the picture here. These thorns grow up and they take everything, and the Word has no way to grow. Now, like the rocky soil, this soil shows some interest, maybe for a little longer. But eventually they go out, and quickly they are preoccupied with many other things. Three are listed here. The cares, that is the worries of this life. Cares that bit by bit eat away at one's soul. By the riches of this life, clinging to the things of this world, setting your heart upon them instead of upon the kingdom of God. Or the pleasures of this life, finding your joy outside of Christ. Sitting under the preaching of the Word and thinking of other things. How many of you right now have already been thinking about other things than the preaching of the Word of God? How many of you have been thinking about a game that's going to be on this afternoon instead of the preaching of the Word of God? How many of you have been thinking about what you're going to do later on this evening or this week instead of the preaching of the Word of God? Be careful. These thorns are like parasites. They invade a person and destroy them from the inside out. Demas, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy in chapter 4, it's a prime example of this. Listen to these words of Paul. 2 Timothy in chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. So, Demas, along with Cretans, along with Titus, all of these individuals, he says, only Luke is with me. Why did Demas depart? Because he loved this present world. I want to talk to you young people. You young people, or you who feel young, but especially you young people, high school, college, elementary school, watch out. The cares of the world, the pleasures of the world, the riches of this life. I've seen this happen to people. They're raised in the church. They come to church. But as soon as they get out from under their parents' house, they're gone. Maybe it just takes a while. Maybe it's I'm only going a little bit, then a little bit less. And pretty soon they are not in church. They're not hearing the Word of God at all. It breaks my heart. I don't want to see that for any of you. Any of you. That's why I preach. So, it's sobering to think that although the Word is preached to all, many do not hear. But here's the good news. The good news is that some falls on good ground. Some falls on good ground. Verse 15. Jesus says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the Word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." This is the hearer that we need to be. The Word is received by some. Notice here, the Word is received by a heart that has been prepared by God, regenerated by God. This noble and good heart. The Spirit has worked in the heart of the individual who is hearing the Word with profit. The seed, unlike that seed that falls on the other grounds, and particularly unlike that seed that fell by the wayside, this falls on good ground. This seed sinks deeply down, the seed of the gospel truth, sinks deeply down into the will. And it produces two practical results in the hearer. Notice, we're told that those who receive it keep it and bear fruit with patience. The two results are that there is faith and practice. The prepared heart receives the Word by faith, keeps it. The word here translated keeps it doesn't have so much to do with obedience, but with holding fast to it. In fact, this is the same Greek word that in Romans 1 verse 18 is used to speak of the unbeliever who keeps down, suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. And yet here we're told the true believer presses the Word down into the soil of their heart to great profit. Keeps it, holds on to it, clings it, holds it close. Those in our catechism, Heidelberg Catechism, question 21, ask, what is true faith? These are those who have that hearty trust, who know in whom they have believed, the Lord Jesus Christ, who are clinging to Him no matter what happens. You know, you really could contrast this to those that we learned of in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Those who trampled Christ underfoot with those who the author of Hebrews speaks of in Hebrews 10, 23. Those who have learned this truth, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For He who promised is faithful. We saw a confirmation this morning, a profession of faith. And the call was, hold fast to that profession. Hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. And a prepared heart receives the Word by faith, clings to it, and then a prepared heart, we see, always becomes a producing heart. Bear fruit with patience. Hearing leads to faith, and faith leads to faithfulness. That's the order. This is patient production. It's important to understand that. My neighbor has a wonderful garden. They plant all sorts of things. They could probably feed the whole neighborhood with this garden. It's amazing. I don't have anything. I have some bushes, but they're designed to be hardy, so I don't have to really worry about killing them. Now, if I were to go out and say, next year I'm going to have the same garden as my neighbor, everything, I'd probably be sadly disappointed. I haven't cultivated the ground. I have no practice whatsoever in doing it. It'd be foolish for me to say, as one who is newer to gardening, that I'm going to have the same produce. So the idea here, I want you to understand, is that you need to have patience. It will bear fruit. God promises that. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11 says, "When my word comes down like the rain, it will not fail. It will not fail to accomplish all I purpose it to do." But your growth may be slow. You have to have patience. One commentator puts it like this: mushrooms spring up overnight but are usually poisonous. But the best fruits require time, cultivation, and patience. The Christian life is not a sprint. It's a lifelong marathon. We're patient in bearing fruit. And I think this is encouragement. You may be new to the faith. You may be just growing. But guess what? God is faithful. He is the one we hold fast to. He is the one here that we keep and bear fruit with patience. And notice, Jesus says, it will become mature, a mature production. Verse 8. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. God will produce in you what He desires to produce in you. So here Jesus, in his ministry, speaks of the preaching of the Word. And Jesus had already preached to many people. His disciples would carry on the task. And the church today continues, even now today, that work of the Great Commission, preaching the Word of God. We are to go into all the world and proclaim the Gospel. And yet it's clear, isn't it? Not everyone is saved. Why not? It's not because the seed was not sown. It's not because the Gospel was not preached. That we might be able to say this, based on this parable, as a general rule, the result of the hearing of the Gospel always and everywhere depends on the condition of the heart of the hearer. The condition of the heart of the hearer. Many hear the preached Word of God, but not all receive the planted Word of God. Some will hear it and trample upon it, enabling the devil to take it away. Others will hear it. They'll seem at first to rejoice and yet quickly fall away. They have no root. Still others will hear it and yet love the world so much that it will completely be choked from them. None of these individuals ever truly hear. Do any of these describe you and how you hear the Word of God? Do you really hear? Because that's the call. The call is to evaluate yourself. And if you find yourself struggling in this, then the call is clear. Repent. God, make me that good ground. Give me ears to hear. Open my heart to see and to bear fruit. But be encouraged, because we are told here that there will be good ground. There will be that ground that is faithful and persistent and patient. And I encourage you, let the Word of God take root and bear fruit. How do you do this, though? Well, you need to be prepared. I mentioned earlier, preparing to come to the worship of God. How do you prepare for that? You ought to be reading the passages before Sunday. Maybe reviewing the sheet I send out. Getting a good night's rest for you young people. Don't burn the midnight oil on Saturday night. Be prepared. Engage your heart actively as you hear the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and apply it to yourself. Don't hear it and think, well, that's good for someone else. Hear it and say, what is God saying to me right now? Because God is speaking to you. Parents, this is important. It's important to teach your children to do this now. One thing when they're really young and they're being entertained by something, but have them sit with the Word of God open on their lap, if they can read especially, and follow along and learn to do it. If they don't learn now, they're not going to do it later. Be active in your hearing. And then remind your heart of the Word of God after it is preached. I mean, what do you talk about after the service? Do you go immediately from the sermon and just talk about the world? Or do you discuss the things of God? I'm afraid far too often we run back to the world. And in doing so, we forget the Word. Let that not be said of any of us. Let us be those who are, by God's grace, by His Spirit working in us, good ground, receiving the Word, keeping it, and bringing fruit forth with patience. Amen. Let us pray. God, help us to know our own hearts. Encourage us to know that Your Word will not return void, that those whom You are working in, whom You have regenerated, will receive Your Word with thanksgiving, not only for a time, but for eternity. Make us those hearers. Prepare us even now, and help us as we go from this place not to be quick to forget Your Word, but to meditate upon it, to think upon it, that it might bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.